Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. It's that time again. It's Tuesday, and we're in the middle of things. It's the American Sports History Podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend out there in Cleveland, Ohio, Peter Ray. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing in Los Angeles, 2,500 miles to the west, hot. 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss this, catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of him, less of me. Let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, the threes, Peter. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And you're bringing this guest back for the 28th time, Billy North. Wow. I'm going to sit here and man the boards while you two guys go at it. Take it away, my friend.
Hi, Mark. I'm doing well. I have a YouTube channel. It's my name, Peter J. R.E. You're absolutely right. Tonight's guest played Major League Baseball from 1971 to 1981 with the Chicago Cubs, Oakland A's, L.A. Dodgers, and San Francisco Giants. He's tied with Dave Collins for 79th all-time in stolen bases within his career, 395 career stolen bases. He won two World Series titles in 1973 and 74 with the Oakland A's, two-time American League stolen base leader in 1974 and 76, more than 1,000 hits. First Oakland A's designated hitter, won a National League title in 1978 with the Dodgers, three times led the American League in total chances per game, twice in putouts, once in assists from the outfield on a double play. And you're right, this is the 28th time the starting center fielder and leadoff hitter for the coolest MLB team of all time, the Oakland A's in the early 1970s, and my dear wife Alice's favorite podcast guest because he's a good man and has a good heart. Welcome to the show, Mr. Bill North.
I know I hit the big time when I'm Alice's favorite.
That's right. She's a good judge of character, and that's important. And Bill, you've got some things coming up I wanted to bring up first. You have Labor Day. You're getting an award at the Buffalo Soldiers Museum in Tacoma, Washington. And then September 6th, a night with Bill North at Ricky's in San Leandro, $100 a plate. That's wonderful. Two exciting things coming up.
I am really excited. I'm feeling humbled by the fact that somebody would even want to sit around me or honor me. You can't take that kind of thing for granted. And it's I'm feeling highly favored by the Lord. Yeah.
Well, so next 2 weeks from tonight, we can hear all about it. Looking forward to that. The Oakland A's have released the names for the 2024 Oakland A's Hall of Fame, the ballot. And you're not on it, but there's a write-in feature, and I ask the dear listeners to consider writing in Bill North on the Oakland A's Hall of Fame ballot. You can vote online for 2024. It's easy to find, and you can vote for three people. The other people from his era: Dick Green, Ken Holtzman, and Blue Moon Odom. So, deadline is September 6th. So, good luck, Bill, with that.
Thanks, Peter.
You're welcome.
I'm not expecting much, but I appreciate your persistence.
Well, this is important. You were an important part of that. You guys won three. You were a tremendous team, and you were an important part of that. Let's see. So I've enjoyed the last 2 weeks your interviews with Darrell Evans.
That's my boy. He's a good. And this is a compliment that you reserved for special people. He was a good teammate and somebody that I really enjoyed being around. Special man with a good sense of humor.
Yeah, he's another funny guy, and had a lot of power, and played with Henry Aaron and Dusty Baker, and won a World Series with the Tigers. So those are really fun. You know, I started watching the Major League Baseball started producing things on TV called Baseball Seasons, and this is about 15 years ago, and they did the years between 1959 and 2005, not every year. 32 years in that time period. And recently I was watching the 1965 baseball seasons, and they talked about how the Houston Astrodome opened that year, and they called it the eighth wonder of the world. And then, you know, the seven wonders of the world, one list is the Colosseum in Rome, the Great Wall of China, Taj Mahal in India, Christ the Redeemer in Brazil, Machu Picchu in Peru, Chichen Itza in Mexico, and Petra in Jordan. Now, Bill, I had to ask you, you played.
What about the Island of Rhodes?
Well, yeah, like I said, there are different lists. That's just one list that I picked up.
Look at that.
Okay, I'll check it out. Now, you played in the Astrodome. What was it like playing center field in the eighth wonder of the world?
Well, it was a little tenuous to the point that when that ball went up in the rafters, you could lose it. You had to keep your eye on the ball the whole way. You couldn't put your head down and run through the ball as much as you had to watch it the whole way. And because it changed shades as it went through those rafters. But I don't remember dropping any there, so that's a good thing.
Were you awestruck by playing in the eighth wonder of the world?
Not really.
Well, I'm just trying to be funny because they were. I think it's already been torn down. So, but anyway, they're just self. It's just promotion, you know, and trying to compare themselves with these other great things.
What was good about it, Peter, was the fact that I've been all over the place in Caribbean and all of that. The most humid city I've ever been in has been Houston.
Okay.
And when you walked outside the hotel and had some sunglasses on, they would steam up.
Oh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to go inside the Astrodome and play with a temperature of 72 degrees.
Right.
After coming from the outside, which is, you didn't go outside and do your afternoon walk in Houston.
Yeah, it's funny, the story you're talking about, the Houston Astrodome is the eighth wonder of the world. It reminded me of the story of Yankee Stadium when it was renovated and they opened it again in the late 70s, and Oscar Gamble was playing right field. And they told me, they said, Oscar, when Yankee Stadium opened originally, Babe Ruth was playing right field, and they called it the house that Ruth built. Now you're playing right field in the newly renovated Yankee Stadium. So should the new Yankee Stadium be called the house that Gamble built? And Oscar Gamble said, "Say what?"
Oh, gee, what a good man!
Oh, I thought that was funny.
They traded him away from the Cubs when I came up, and they wanted me to be a center fielder, but you've heard that story, how we fell out of love, and the Cubs.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, the past 2 weeks I've been watching, I watched the 1973 World Series Game 5. The Mets won 2-0 at Shea Stadium. Vida Blue against Jerry Kuzman. Tug McGraw got the save. And Kurt Gowdy was talking before the game how the Oakland A's were missing Bill North. And before the game, you were interviewed by Tony Kubek, and in the interview, you were there wearing like a leather jacket. It was in the stands, and you said you believed you could play. Kubek said you appeared dejected. You said you were frustrated. Do you remember that interview?
Yeah, I do. I watched it actually after you told me about it.
Okay.
When you were a kid and at 10 years old, Yankees and Braves playing in the World Series, and you told yourself, that was my two teams, Hank Aaron and Mickey Mantle, and you told yourself, I want to play in the World Series. And then you get a chance to be there and you get hurt. Wouldn't you be dejected?
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
But now you think you, at that time you were saying you thought you could play, but now looking back you think you could not have played.
Well, I couldn't have cut, you know.
Okay.
I could only run straight, but I didn't trust my ankle to, you know, I mean, base running was, you know, maybe straight ahead or that. But in retrospect, it's the kind of thing that was, that thing hurt, man. That was an injury that I rehabbed all year, all off season, and still came into the next season hurt. Batting average didn't get over 200 till June. Mm. In that stretch, I went 5 for 55. Mm. And Alvin Dark told me, he said, Billy, I want you out there for what you might do, which is one of the greatest compliments I ever got in my life.
Mm.
I started getting well in late May and early June, and I hit about 320 for the rest of the season. Ended up with a 260 batting average. And after you get into June, to go up 60 points on your batting average after that many at bats is a hell of a deal. And it ended up working out.
Yeah, in that game 5 of the 73 series, Reggie Jackson was in center, Jesus Alou was in right. Joe DiMaggio was sitting next to Bowie Kuhn and threw out the first pitch. And Kirk Gowdy called DiMaggio one of the most beautifully groomed men in baseball history.
Joe was clean, Peter. Joe was clean. He was always dressed to the nines and carried himself like he was regal. You know? He was a gentleman, and it was really, really impressive. There were a lot of people in that era that were playing that looked up to Joe.
Sure. During the game, they were saying Jesus Alou is doing deep knee bends and calisthenics in the batter's box during his bats.
Yeah. And on that inside pitch, he would drop the bat. If it was close to him, he'd drop the bat and get out of the way. Yeah, he had his own routine, but he was a great teammate, too. And you know, I mean, he's part of the Alou family.
Yeah.
He could hit and he could play. Yeah.
And they were talking about, I think I missed it, earlier in the series, Cleon Jones was in left field and he vomited during a game, but he continued to.
I'm glad I didn't see that.
And he continued playing, and he actually got some big hits in game 5. He was still sick. And they mentioned how Reggie Jackson, Gene Tennis, and Joe Rudy had 85 combined home runs, and the Mets team total was 85.
They were there. Everybody else was at home. Yeah.
And it was a cold night. It was a cold night. Rusty Staub was the only player who did not have a long-sleeve undershirt on, despite the cold.
Le Grand Orange. Good player. I don't know. I would have had a shirt on. A jersey under the long sleeves. You can bet on that. Yeah.
Dick Williams had Raleigh fingers warming up in the bullpen in the fourth inning.
For Holtzman, huh?
Yeah.
No,
for Vida Blue.
Vida Blue?
Yeah.
Well, he knew what he was doing. Yeah.
And then
I seen Raleigh come in the seventh inning with the bases loaded and nobody out and finish the game. He pitched over 100 innings most every season that I was there as a reliever, as a closer.
There was a banner that they showed very briefly during the game called LSD, Let Staub Destroy, and the announcers didn't comment. I wonder if it was the same guy who put up the banner that said, the Mets are flying high and so am I the night before.
Probably. That's that New York thing. Hey, man.
Oh, man.
Them fans in New York are serious. Although those were corporate fans there, somebody snuck in with being loaded. Yeah.
And they kept talking about you. They mentioned how I think it was Kurt Gowdy that you were leading the American League in stolen bases with 13 games left in the season, and then you had your ankle injury, and then Tommy Harper passed you and won the $500 award.
Hey, by one base. I sat there and watched him catch up too, and not fun. I was leading the league in a couple of things that season and lost all of them by one.
Go ahead.
Run scored and bases on balls at that and lost all of them by one.
Joe Rudy made a tremendous catch in left field. Looked like he was hurt. The players congregated around him, but he stayed in the game.
Well, Joe Rudy's a man.
They referred to Alan Lewis as the Panamanian Express, so he was from Panama.
Alan Lewis, yeah. Alan Lewis could run. And he was Charlie's pet. Charlie liked speed. And even with Herb Washington, we had Larry Lentz and Matt Alexander, who could both run. I mean, that year, the year we sold 70, I think it was 76, when we sold 350 bases. Those guys right there give you the boots. He loves food.
So you had Cuban Bert Campaneris, Puerto Rican Angel Manguel, Alan Lewis from Panama, and then you had Horacio Pena, I think. I'm not sure where he was from. So you had a bunch of Spanish-speaking fellas.
Yeah.
And at the end of the game, Billy Conegliaro came up, and he had Billy C. on his uniform. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, Vida had his – it said Vida on his uniform, too. You know, it didn't say blue. And it didn't. Conigliaro might have been too long to write.
Yeah, they in Cleveland. Let's see, Hawk Harrelson had Hawk. I don't know what the. I thought that was pretty cool. I don't know. It was more than one team that was doing that.
Yeah, and Ichiro. You had Ichiro.
Right.
And a few others. There you go.
You know, I mentioned to you the other day, or one of the last recent shows, I said, can you imagine a better pitching matchup than Catfish Hunter and Tom Seaver? And you said something like, well, how about Don Drysdale and Bob Gibson, something like that. And anyway, I want to bring up 1965 baseball seasons, the World Series, went seven. Now, and you were a young fella. You probably remember that I was thinking, oh, Bill was a fan growing up. And the Dodgers had Maury Wills, Don Drysdale, Sandy Koufax, Claude Osteen, Willie Davis. Twins had Zoilo Versalles. What a name. Harmon Killebrew, Jim Cott, Mudcat Grant, Camilo Pasquale, Jim Perry. And, yeah, Mudcat Grant hit a home run. Do you remember that series, 1965 Twins? Dodgers won in seven against the Twins.
Oh, yeah. They had Three Dog. They had Duke Snider. Three Dog was Willie Davis. Okay. Jim Gilliam and just a bunch of them. They could play. Tommy Davis. Tommy Davis was my man. He'd say, hey, baby. Hey, baby, how you doing today? And just a tremendous player and a hitter. He drove in 156 runs one year. And, they had some guys. The Dodgers were real. Didn't know. When I came into the game, nobody liked them because they were the little rich kids on the block. And they were always very well kept by their organization. And they were a little snooty. But I tell everybody hated the Dodgers till you played for them and got to experience that first-class organization.
Oh, by the way, Bill, when is Dave Newhouse going to write your biography?
Peter, You give me much more credit than I'm probably due.
No.
Hey,
well, what next time you talk with him, can you bring it up and just plant a seed?
Okay, I will. There have been a number of guys that would like to have written a book with me.
Yeah.
I got offers, but they wanted me to tell about the players and what they did on and off the field. And back in that era, I'm not going to call somebody up about that. Hey, man. Back in those days, the only one that snitches off was Jim Bout in Bone 4.
right. Yeah. Well, you and Dave Newhouse seem to have a rapport. You guys talk a lot, and I know he's written books, so he's got connections in the book field. And, that could be a good project for, with you and the Oakland A's, and since he was...
Yeah, I consider him a friend of mine, Peter, and he was a beat writer back when I was playing. And we always he was straight up, and he was a good writer, and he had respect as more than some of them. Some of them would try and get things and then turn around and put stuff in there out of context.
I wanted to, bring back these baseball seasons. Anybody listen, these are really good, from 1959 to 2005. I also watched 1967. The Cardinals beat the Red Sox in 7. And actually, Dick Williams was a young guy there. And then he's in the video. They interviewed former players and managers and stuff. And then he was an old guy as interviewed. And you see these two extremes when he's young in the video. And then in 2010 when they did it. That was a really good series. Went 7. Cardinals had Roger Maris, Orlando Cepeda, Bob Gibson, Lou Brock, Tim McCarver, Kurt Flood, Mike Shannon, Nelson Brouse. The Red Sox, Carl Yastrzemski, Reggie Smith, Jim Lonborg, Rico Petrocelli, and Tony Coniglio. Do you remember what you remember about the 1967 World Series?
Well, I know that they had some guys there that were pretty good players. I was always a Yastrzemski fan. What a great player he was. And, he took that left field, the Green Monster, and would turn balls that were home runs into singles. That manifested itself in the 75 World Series. How he played that wall. And, we hit the ball harder than they did in the playoffs there, and hit balls that would have been home runs in any other ballpark, but they were line drives and they went into the wall. You take a home run and make it a single, that's going to affect it.
Well, Dick Williams really showed. He made a big impact on that team because they were not good, and then I think they've been like last place the year before. And he got him almost winning it all. Did he ever talk about the 67 Red Sox?
No, he didn't talk about that. But he was a hell of a manager. All he wanted you to do was play the game right and not make mistakes, and that's what we did. He made that team, the Oakland A's. He built it and made it the dynasty that it was, with his being the head of it. And he expected you to not make mistakes. And if you did, he'd be standing in a dugout and he would go into the bathroom on you and close the door. And you could hear stuff in there because he was swearing and tearing stuff up. Because he didn't like the mistakes. As a matter of fact, that one mistake got me my job, and it was the kind of thing that, hey, you played the game right, And I was, me and Campaneris, we were in a situation that when you had those guys, you had, as base stealers, we had to steal third base at 90-95% because you were already in scoring position. I saw a guy the other day get thrown, stole third base with right-handed pitcher, and no, a left-handed pitcher, which leaves the catcher's throat unencumbered, and he got thrown out, and he was a tying run in the game.
Mm.
And that would have never worked with Dick Williams.
Right. We have some comments here. Joey from Bucks County, Pennsylvania says, keep the flame going. This show is the bomb.
Yeah.
And Darius from Tallahassee, Florida. Hey, Bill, I got the Astros winning it all again. Say hi to Dusty Baker for me.
Oh, I always do. But it's the kind of thing, now that we decided who's going to win, all we got to do is play the game. We got a team up here playing pretty good ball that have handled the Astros this year. Seattle's in first place in that division now.
Okay.
Up a game on the Astros and the Texas Rangers. But
Eric from Bellingham. Go ahead. Huh?
September's a hell of a month.
Yeah, pressure's on.
You won in August, but if you ain't hot in September and you're hot and you ain't hot going into the postseason, you know, it's who's hot and who's not. And I'm for Houston, so don't get me started.
Eric from Bellingham, Washington. How many pants did you rip stealing bases?
You know, tore them up quite a bit, and they would sell. What I did actually was I was one of the first ones to ever put a silk insert in my pant, have them put a silk insert in my pant to lessen the friction of the slide. And we had a guy named Herb Washington, who's a designated runner, but he didn't have baseballs, and he used to tear patches off of his thigh. There's a reason why they call them strawberries. then he ended up putting silk inserts in his pants and that. But that's, you know, but as far as tearing up pants, I tore up a whole bunch of them.
Okay, the greatest play, we have a little bit of time, running out of time. The greatest players in the 1970s, what do you remember about Lee May?
Come on, man. Lee May? He was over there with Joe Morgan and David Concepcion, Pete Rose, Johnny Bench. And he was in the game. I'll tell you a story. When Pete Rose came up, the white guys on the team didn't like that Charlie Hustle thing. And they would shun Pete. And the thing was, Lee May, Beta Pencil, Joe Morgan, and those guys took Pete in. And Pete was always, they weren't down in him. And Pete always remembered that, too. But those guys took care of him. And that was a thing over there. But, you know, they didn't like for you to show them up in those days. And the brothers took him in.
Our guest has been Mr. Bill North, who was the leadoff hitter and center fielder for the coolest MLB team of all time, the Oakland A's from the early 1970s. The time has flown by, Bill. Do you have any final words tonight for our audience?
Thank you for being here, and life is good. Just stay out of trouble and take care of your families.
Now.
That's always a good advice. Yeah, we can forget the basics in life if we're not careful. So anyway, I hope listeners will consider going online, the Oakland A's Hall of Fame 2024 ballot. There's a write-in feature. You can write in Bill North. I'd appreciate that, and so we'll see what we can do here. And then you can take your pick, Dick Green, Ken Olson, Blue Moto, two out of those three. Next week, we are going to have Kip Gross, who played pro ball baseball from 1990 to 2000 with the Cincinnati Reds, L.A. Dodgers, Nihon Ham Fighters in Japan, and Boston Red Sox and Houston Astros. Thanks again so much, Bill, for coming on the show tonight. Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much for having a really wonderful blessing having you on the show. What a gift. And so thanks so much.
I just want to add a little commercial. We're having that event on September 6th, and it's for two foundations, the Multi-Ethnic Sports Hall of Fame and the North Legacy Project. If you can look it up online, and if you can't, if you can be there, it'd be good. And if you can't, you can still donate. And we're just trying to help kids.
A night with Bill North.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, we'll look forward to hearing
Thank
about
you
that.
Thank you for that giving me the time to put that commercial in there.
Sure. Well, you're welcome, Bill. It's a pleasure. Having you on is such a tremendous gift every 2 weeks for everybody and my dear wife, Alice. Dear listener, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Good night, again, everybody. Thanks again so much, Mr. Bill North.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. Wonderful.